This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. The first verse of Psalm 107 reads, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." The Holy Spirit inspired the author of Psalm 107 to write these words. Words that teach us some very important things about giving thanks. First of all, we're to give thanks to the Lord. And not just any Lord, mind you, but the one true Lord. You see, the English word Lord translates the Hebrew word Yahweh, which is the holy name for God that we find in the Old Testament. And my friends, there's only one Yahweh, the only creator of the heavens and the earth, the only savior of sinful humans. Yahweh reveals himself to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, three persons. Therefore, Psalm 107 verse 1 tells us to give thanks to the Lord, the one true God, for he alone is worthy of our thanks. In addition, Psalm 107 verse 1 says that the Lord's love endures forever. You know, this reminds me of what the Apostle John writes about God's love in 1 John chapter 4. Listen to this. "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." My friends, the Lord shows his love for us sinners in so many ways. From a physical point of view, he gives us food, clothing, shelter, many days of health, family, friends, and countless other luxuries, even though we don't deserve any of them. But the ultimate sign of God's love is the gift of his Son. His Son, who willingly suffered and died on the cross in our place of damnation, so that we sinners might be forgiven and live forever in God's kingdom of love. With that understood, let's examine Psalm 107 more closely. You see, Psalm 107 deals with a time in history after God had redeemed his people from Babylon. Now, if you study biblical history, you will find out that around 586 BC, God sent the pagan nation of Babylon against his people living in the southern kingdom of Israel. Now, why in the world did God send Babylon against his own people? Well, you see, God wanted to bring them to repentance so that they could receive his mercy. God's people had rebelled against his word, and they were living lives of unrepentant sin. Therefore, in order to humble them and bring them to repentance, God sent the nation of Babylon against them. Now, the Babylonian army destroyed the city of Jerusalem. They utterly demolished the Jerusalem temple, and they killed many people. But those who survived were taken into exile in Babylon, and they were there for 70 years. And during that time, many of God's people repented, and they trusted in the Lord once again. Well, after 70 years had passed, God brought his people back to Jerusalem. They rebuilt the city as well as God's temple, and then they waited. They waited for the promised Messiah, whom God said would be a descendant of the tribe of Judah. In fact, this Messiah, Scripture says, would be the Savior of all nations. You can read about that in Genesis chapter 12 when God told Abraham that through his seed all nations would be blessed. Therefore, Psalm 107 is actually about our loving Lord, who uses the Babylonian exile to bring his people to repentance so that they will seek his mercy and receive his salvation. Now, what you need to understand is that this event in Israel's history is actually a picture of an even greater exile that afflicts all of us because of our own sin against God. You see, in the beginning, God created the universe and all life. And the first humans, Adam and Eve, they were created in God's image. They were perfect and holy. They and their descendants, that's you and me, we were meant to live in God's love forever. But this gift was lost when a fallen angel tempted Adam and Eve to reject God and his word and decide for themselves what is good and what is evil. And Scripture teaches that every human descended from Adam and Eve has inherited their sinful nature, and so we too are guilty of rebelling against God. And the result of our rebellion is that we have been exiled to a life in this cursed world. A world filled with sin, pain, and death. As it says in Psalm 107, God turned rivers into a desert, flowing springs into thirsty ground, and fruitful land into a salt waste because of the wickedness of those who lived there. You see, my friends, we need to realize that the world we live in today is not the good world that God created in the beginning. This world has been cursed by our sin, and the result is that there is much evil, pain, and suffering, and ultimately, death. And why does God allow this? He allows this to happen so that we will humble ourselves, acknowledge our sin, and seek his salvation. And the good news I have for you today is that God is merciful to sinners. Think about it. Even though we live in a cursed world where we should expect no good things, God still abundantly pours out many pleasures and blessings upon us. Why? Because he longs to be merciful. But even more than all the undeserved physical blessings that God gives us, the ultimate blessing and sign of God's love is that he has given us his own Son, who took the curse of our sin upon himself so that we might receive forgiveness and the hope of eternal life in a new creation, which Scripture says that God will give to his people when Christ returns in power and glory. Now, even though Psalm 107 is about the Lord delivering his people from exile in Babylon, this psalm also is a picture of the even greater deliverance of all sinners from our exile in this cursed world. Simply put, this psalm describes God's process of saving sinners. Now, if you look at this psalm more carefully, what you see is this process. First of all, Psalm 107 describes the agony of God's people as they suffer the consequences of their rebellion against God. Secondly, we see that God gives them this suffering not because he hates them. He gives them this suffering because he loves them. And thirdly, God's goal is to lead them to repentance so that they will receive his mercy. Now, Psalm 107 describes this process in four different ways. The first way is found in verses 4 through 9 of Psalm 107, where we see that God's people are described as wandering in a desert. hungering for food and thirsting for water. And then we're told they cried out to the Lord, and He delivered them. Verses 8 and 9 read, "Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men, for He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things." Now you know these words remind us that God does far more than give us food and water, as important as those things are. But even more, God satisfies our hunger and thirst for forgiveness and eternal life in His love. Maybe you recall what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5. He says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." And in John chapter 6, Jesus says, "He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never go thirsty. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Now the second way this psalm describes God's process of salvation is in verses 10 through 16, where God's people are described as being in prison. And why are they in prison? Verse 11 says, "For they had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High." You see, whenever we reject God's word and live as we please, we put ourselves in spiritual prison and under the bondage of the devil. But God loves us too much to leave us imprisoned by our sin, and so He humbles us and gives us repentant hearts that cry out to Him. And my friends, God saves those who cry out to Him. As the psalm reads, "He saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom and broke away their chains." My friends, Jesus sets us free from the prison of sin and hell. In Luke chapter 4, we read these words of Jesus. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners." Therefore, we honor Jesus with these words from Psalm 107. "Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men, for He breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron." Now the third way that this psalm describes God's process of saving us is found in verses 17 through 22, where God's people in exile are described as being very ill and near death itself. And once again, why are they in this condition? Psalm 107 verse 18 says, "Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities." My friends, our sin against God is a terminal disease that results in much suffering and eventually death. Sooner or later, we all have to die. As the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, he says, "The wages of sin is death." But those who cry out to God in repentant faith will receive healing. And by healing, I mean God's healing gifts of forgiveness and the hope of the resurrection of the body and eternal life in the new creation, where there will be no more sin and therefore no more sickness or death. As Psalm 107 verse 20 says, "He sent forth His word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave." Now, of course, it's true. Jesus did heal many people of their physical diseases. And He did this to show that He was the Savior promised in the Scriptures, because the Scriptures in the Old Testament taught that one of the signs of the Messiah would be that He would heal people of their physical ills. But you have to understand something. those people that received physical healing from Jesus, they eventually became ill again, and they finally died. Therefore, the most important healing we need is Jesus' healing gift of the forgiveness of sins. In fact, on one occasion, some men brought a paralyzed friend to Jesus. But do you remember the first thing that Jesus said to that paralyzed man? He said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Forgiveness is the greatest healing we can receive. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we read these words about Jesus. Listen, Peter says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." Those who receive forgiveness of sins through faith in Jesus can look forward to the resurrection of the body. And that's when we will receive full physical healing, a healing that will last for all eternity. Therefore, we honor Jesus with these words: "Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men." Finally, the last way this psalm describes God's process of saving sinners is found in verses 23 through 32, where God's people are described as being like sailors who are overwhelmed by a storm at sea. Just as people are helpless in the midst of a mighty ocean storm, we sinners are helpless to save ourselves from the storms of life and the mighty waters of God's judgment. Therefore, we sinners cry out to the Lord, and he saves us. The same Jesus who calmed the storm and stilled the waves when his disciples begged him for help, this same Jesus saves us from the even greater storm of sin and the even greater waves of judgment. Psalm 107 says, "He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven." My friends, the forgiveness and love that we receive through faith in Jesus, it calms our troubled hearts and gives us hope even in the face of death itself. My friends, if you trust in Jesus, he will lead you to your desired haven, which is eternal life in the new creation that he will give us on the final day. Listen again to these words from Psalm 107. "God turned the desert into pools of water and parched ground into flowing springs. There he brought the hungry to live, and they founded a city where they could settle." You know, this reminds me of these words from Revelation chapter 21. John talks about our future destiny when he says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." My friends, Jesus rescues us from the storm of sin and judgment, and then he leads us to our desired haven. Therefore, we honor Jesus with these words from Psalm 107. "Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men." In closing, please note how Psalm 107 ends. It ends with these words: "Whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord. Today, we give thanks to the Lord because His love endures forever. Not only does God give us multiple physical blessings, even though we don't deserve them, but even more, God has provided for our greatest need through His Son, Jesus, who died for us and conquered death for us to rescue us from our exile and to lead us to our desired haven. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.